it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoors, Science, and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. The title of the show, Fall Gardening Activities. In the studio with me, my great friend, organic gardener, Inspector Dave. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks again for having me. Another beautiful fall day.
You know something, we're in the studio, but you also know this. As soon as we're done, we're in the outdoors. So my first question for you today is, why do I need to plan now? Am I tired of gardening?
Well, it's not that we're tired of gardening. We're going into seasons. We're in the cycles, nature cycles. You know, our garden follows those. We plant in the spring. You know, then we watch everything grow and we weed and then we harvest. And then now we have to start watching our plants are at the end of their lifespan and they're starting to die off. So it's a kind of a different feel that we have in the garden now because we're in the down cycle of it. But gardening is year-round, our planning and everything else. We're going to talk more about that, why this is still an important time of the year, even though it says, well, I'm done gardening, the tomatoes I can't pick anymore, but there still are things to do.
All right, so why, as you mentioned that then, why would I remove the old plants from my vegetable garden?
Well, we want to prepare the garden for next year. I know we're thinking, you know, 6 or 8 months ahead here, but we're trying to get rid of any diseased plants that may be out there that can harbor insects of different types and harbor disease. And we're preparing the soil so that we can have it go fallow over the off season so that we can allow it to just regenerate itself, give the worms a chance to do their thing, and just give the soil a chance to breathe and to get itself back into balance after supporting your plants, you know, all growing season.
And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So, do I have to leave winter squash on the vine at this time?
Well, I find when I grow the winter squash, and we're talking about like butternut squash, spaghetti squash, Hubbard's, all the heavy squash, not zucchini. These are squashes that we store for the winter. So the longer we can leave them on the vine, the more flavor they will have, the more nutrition they will have, and the harder the rind or the shell will be so that it'll give us a chance to really have a long storage time. So we can keep these in our pantry in a cold storage area up until, you know, maybe January, February, you know, 4, 5, 6 months after you pick them, and they'll still be ready to eat. And some of the squash actually gets sweeter. So the longer you leave them out there, you're allowing them to cure, allow the sun to cure. So as the vine starts to wither, then we start to cut them off. Unless you leave a little stem on the end too, that's important.
Now, do you have any other things growing in your garden right now?
Well, things are still growing. The tomatoes are still going a little bit. The peppers are still growing. The eggplant, for some reason, has got like a third life and it's starting to set a lot of fruit again. And I put some late corn in August. I had some extra corn seed. I had a little space. So that succession cropping we've talked about in the past, I put corn in, it grew, it tasseled, and I have smaller ears, but it's still just as tasty as the big ears that we get in the main season.
Now, I was walking past your organic garden, and I saw carrots there. Have you harvested any yet?
Oh, I picked one out the other day just to see how it's doing. I like to leave the root crops in, like carrots, till the soil gets a little cooler, because they'll survive even with a frost. So you want to store your carrots in the soil, and just it allows them to get a little bit sweeter. So it's no problem leaving them there. So we'll start to pull them out. We'll get you a few. We got a medley of carrot colors this year, white and purple and orange.
And you know what we always do with my family? We do that family blind taste test with all the different colors. So I look forward to that because that's a fun one with us. Next, did you put any fall lettuces in?
Yes, I did. Thanks for reminding me. We did get some arugula going again. So we'll have some late season arugula. It's all sprouted up now. So if the weather holds for us, we don't get a frost, we'll be having some fall arugula.
Now, at this point, do I need to think about pH in the garden?
Yes, pH is important because pH, and again, we're trying to bring the acidity of our soil into more to a neutral area. Generally around 6.2 to 6.7 is the pH range we would like to have for a vegetable garden. So pH, when we're doing liming or whatever way we're bringing our soil pH into balance, it takes time for the chemical reaction to occur. So we want to make sure that we give the soil ample time to balance itself and get back to the where you want it to be.
And I know that also you check that pH early next spring as well, correct?
I check it year round, actually. I'll check it early in the spring. I check it during the summer to see if everything I've done is I've done the right thing to bring the pH where I want it. And then I'll do it again now. I always check pH before I do any kind of adjustment, just to be sure that I need to make an adjustment, because you may get lucky and not have to do anything. So you'd be wasting money for products, and also you're doing something, maybe you're taking it the wrong way, the pH value.
Well, if we do have to add it, so then we're talking lime probably. What is the best kind of lime?
Now, for the vegetable garden and the flower garden, a pulverized or powdered lime is much better to use. And the reason for that is because you want it to assimilate all through the soil evenly, whereas if you did a granular or a nuggeted type lime, it's going to be in little pockets, and we don't want that. We want it all through the garden, very even there, and it's much easier to, if we rototill or dig it in, or it'll help to wash in over the winter time with the snow and the rain and cracking from frost heaves and all that. The powdered lime or the pulverized lime will work into the soil much better and more completely.
Now, it's funny that as I travel around, people ask me so many questions about compost and compost piles. So here's my question to you. We've already done a show. And hey, by the way, out there, you can always go listen to our podcast show or go to Joey B TV and watch our episode on composting. But not now, because Inspector Dave has so much more to offer. So what about your compost pile right now?
Well, like we said in that episode, that composting is year-round. We're always looking for things to add to our compost pile. We're always out there if we can. As long as it's not frozen, we can still stir it and then get some air in there, get the moisture level. So it'll stay plenty warm into the autumn and the fall seasons, especially if you're in a plastic accelerator bin of some type. The sun will bake that, and it'll keep compost. It'll keep working. It'll slow down, but we always constantly want to do all the air that we want to put into that and the moisture and then collecting materials.
So now the leaves, and they haven't start falling in fall, but are leaves good for my garden?
Sure. Leaves have a lot of interesting minerals into them, because think about a tree, especially a more mature tree, the roots go way, way down into the soil, and they pick up a lot of micronutrients and other things out of the bedrock that may be down there, or just deep into the soil, things that have been washed down through the years or naturally occur there. So the leaves now have all these minerals in them, so we want to recycle them back into the garden, because it's a great way to bring lower level minerals up to the top. So we can put the leaves into the compost pile, or we can use them as a covering. We grind them up first, shred them, and use them as a covering on our beds as they're fallowing over the winter time.
How would you shred them?
Well, there's a number of ways. They have different shredders that are available, you know, little battery-powered ones with string in them. They have gasoline-powered ones with the hammer mills. You can run them over with your lawnmower. Some lawnmowers have like a shredding attachment. Just any way you can do that. The only thing you don't do is sit out there and cut them up with scissors.
No, it's not a pastime or anything. Now, this show is brought to you by Barkerstown Brew, the advanced hydration drink for your dog. 6 natural great flavors. Go to BarkerstownBrew.com. What about my spent plants? Can I use those in my composting?
Well, that can get a little tricky there. We have to look at our plants and see if they have any disease on them of any type. Then it's probably not a good idea to compost them. If your pile is not getting like super hot to get rid of that disease, then all you're doing now is reintroducing that disease back into the compost. And remember, a lot of our diseases that affect our plants in the vegetable garden are in the soil, and they're brought up by rain splashing and when you're planting and all that. So we want to try and keep the disease level down in the compost pile, since we're going to incorporate that into the soil in this next spring. So yeah, if you may have another back area that you can put them in, just, you know, if you don't have a pickup thing or a place to take them, you know, you can put them in the way, way back. But I would not put them in my main compost pile.
Now, I know that you have a unique way of watering your plants, and you have rain barrels, drip lines, and I think that people should take a look and listen to everything you have to offer about that. Is this the time that I should be draining the barrels and the drip lines?
Well, absolutely, because we know what frozen water does, how it expands, like you're the scientist, it expands so many...
9%.
9% expansion. So think about that water being in your garden hose or in your drip lines or in your rain barrels, and it expands. It's going to break everything and crack everything, and you're going to lose all your supplies and your equipment, and you're going to have to buy new stuff next year. So it's very important to drain things out. You can use the first frost probably as a guideline there. If we get a frost, you should have your stuff all drained out by then. And if something comes up, you need to recharge a hose to do something, to wash your car, whatever. You can always drain it again. But, start thinking about that. It's easy to lose track of that. And you go outside and there's your hose. It's split. The nozzle's split. The rain barrel's got a crack in it. And so it's all avoidable things. Prevention.
Prevention is important. So how do I prepare the soil to overwinter?
Well, we want to keep our soil loose. We want to make sure this is the soil for the vegetable garden now. We want to get everything off the top, all the old spent plants, any of our mulches that we're doing, and we want to get the soil loosened up a little bit. Now, be careful with this. If it's really wet, you don't want to get out there digging around or doing too much, because you'll, again, damage the tilth of the soil. If you're working on it when it's really wet, it'll get clogged into clods, and that's very bad for the soil health. So if it's dry enough, again, you pick it up and make a ball in your hand, then it should crumble readily. Then you know you can work there. And you just want to open it up. Maybe you can take a pitchfork or a shovel or a spade and just open up the soil a little bit so it's kind of loose so that the water can get in there, the lime can get in. The birds can maybe find some bugs in there to eat, and the worms can move around. So it's all just making the soil loose. You don't want it packed down because you don't want the rain to and the snow to like run off. You want that moisture to work its way into the soil.
So we're preventing compaction by doing your explanation. That's what right. We're trying to prevent, correct?
That's correct. And remember, we never, ever want to walk on our beds. So, make sure you have garden paths or some site to work off of. But don't step on your beds because then you're compacting the soil.
So I know that a number of farmers and a number of gardeners use cover crops. Tell me about them.
Well, cover crops would be more for the larger garden, and that's where you have a farm because you have large fields or large areas that are subject to erosion from either wind or rain, runoff, flash flooding. So the cover crops help to stabilize that soil and keep it in place so it doesn't erode away. And also when the spring comes around, we cut those all down and we incorporate them back into the soil. And that's green matter that'll bring nitrogen and other nutrients that come up from the roots and brings it all back into the soil to further. It's like composting in place almost. So it is composting in place. And then the hairy vetch, winter rye, some clovers, those are all types of cover crops that we do. Now, for the smaller garden, it's a little bit of work, unless you're rototilling, because when they grow, they can grow a couple of feet high, these cover crops. Then you have to go in and knock them down with a weed whacker of some type or a string trimmer, and then you have to try and get them into the soil with the rototiller, and then any time to decompose. So it's kind of a personal choice on that. It's a nice thing to do, but it is labor intensive.
Now, I know that it's only the fall. Do I have to think about next year's garden now?
Sure, we're always thinking about gardening. There's nothing better than having gardening manuals and pictures in the dead of winter. Things aren't really growing. Things are kind of like bleak outside. So you want to constantly have visions of the garden in your head. Like, what am I going to grow next year? It's going to be bigger and better and better flavors. And I've learned a little bit more this year from Joey B podcast. And so I can really go for that better garden. And maybe you hooked up with a neighbor you're going to share crop with, or he's going to come over, or she's going to help you come over and maybe dig a little bit this year or take some weeds out for you. So those are all good things. We're constantly thinking about, what are we going to do, looking for materials for leaves, maybe at a neighbor's house. He's got a really cool tree that's got some nice leaves on it that you want to use, like an oak leaf. So it's always things that we're thinking about for next year.
So while I'm thinking about next year, what should I include in my garden journal?
Well, journals are important, and we've talked about those before. You want to make sure that you kept good notes. You kept track of the weather. So that's number one thing, the type of rain, how much sun we had, and how your garden was planted this year. Hopefully you took some pictures so you have a photo album there of what went right and what maybe went wrong with. And there's always like mistakes that we make in our garden. Remember, it's an experiment. It's one big giant scientific experiment growing vegetables. And then the benefit of the experiment is we get great things to eat out of it. But we want to keep track of how we planted things, maybe a particular variety of seed or plant that was exceptionally good, it performed well, and the other hand too, maybe something that performed poorly. Now, this year I did some spaghetti squash, a hybrid, and I really liked the product that I'm getting. I'm getting lots of fruit off the vines for wintertime, but the plant was extremely invasive, even though it was marked as compact or semi-compact. It's not. It's taken over about a third of my garden now is covered by these vines. So that will not be appearing next year because I just don't have that kind of space to go with that. And then think about how you stake things, cages, how big your plants got. Did you have enough support for them for the wind and how your rain barrels functioned? Everything that you do there, the colors of the mulch, if you use plastic mulch with the colors, which colors work better, and planting dates. So this way you know for next year, okay, I can plant by this date and I get a good harvest, or I can stagger things a little bit more. So the more detail in there that you have, the better. You know, critters, maybe you're keeping track of what critters were around so you can come up with a plan next year, you know, to discourage them from coming through. So the more notes you have, you know, the better in there.
It's funny that as you're describing your spaghetti squash, and I was walking recently past your organic garden, it was like the mutant spaghetti squash that's supposed to be compact, and it was growing up on all your pepper plants and just like sort of hiding your pepper plants who are just still active and growing.
Yeah, it was funny too because they were growing up the plant, and the pepper plant, like at first I was like, what's this? And it stopped producing, but now the peppers started producing again. But I had like fruits that were probably like 2 and 3 pounds, like hanging off the cages on these vines. I'm thinking, well, how am I gonna like do with this? Then I remembered I'll get some old pantyhose, cut them up, and I made like little slings to hold the fruit so it can ripen without falling off the vine. The only thing I had to worry about was if the cage was gonna get pulled over. But because we build very strong cages with good staking for wind, the cages supported it fine.
And that's a great tip too. People may not know that one. So we've been talking specifically about your garden. What about my organic lawn?
Fall is one of the most important times to work in the lawn area because the weeds now are starting to slack off a lot. So the grass is growing with much less competition, but it's still nice and warm. The soil is warm. So it's a chance that we can get some seed down if we need to fill in bare patches. Or maybe we're going to reseed the whole lawn or renovate it somehow or add a garden area or a lawn area that we want to make maybe a little bit bigger. And then also this is a wonderful time to fertilize, and hopefully you're using all organic fertilizers because the grass is putting down its roots this time of year. So the fertilizers now will feed the root system more so than the top. So it's not like you're going to be cutting the grass a whole lot in the fall. The roots are growing now, going down deeper, getting ready for the winter. Grass starting to go a little dormant. So the fertilizers this time of year are extremely important, even more so than the springtime, to make sure that the lawn is ready for a hard winter and then ready for next year.
Now, if I could interject, and I was thinking of this next question about leaving my lawn alone, but I know that I can't leave my lawn alone, and you're talking about fertilizing, so what should I put on it? Because we're organic guys.
Right. Well, I like the corn gluten products. We have Wow Supreme from Gardens Alive. That's one I've been using for like 35 or so years now. So it's a corn gluten product that helps to stop weed seeds from germinating. So it's like a barrier. And at the same time, as it breaks down organically, it feeds the lawn. So we get it's a one-step process. We're stopping weed germination and we're feeding the lawn roots. And remember, a lot of our weeds, and people don't realize this, actually germinate in the fall, like our crabgrasses and some of our dandelions and all that. So if we put down a barrier now to keep them from germinating, it's extremely important for next spring so we don't have a whole pop-up of weeds, you know, if you look to control those. So always get those down. And when you use these type of products, the main things, you have to put them down, like any fertilizer, before it's going to rain because you want the water to try and push it in and break it down a little bit and dissolve it. And then the barrier, how that works, it gets everything wet and then it dries. And then that helps to make your barrier, your organic barrier there to the seed germination. The only drawback to using that, you can't use it where you're putting new grass seed. Because remember, it also inhibit the germination of the grass seed.
So that's different timing. But it's funny that as you're describing all this and I'm listening, I'm going, so what I do now to my lawn, I will see and reap the benefit of it next spring.
That's correct. And it, maybe it's a good time of year to cord a lawn, you know, do get a machine, either have somebody come do it or yourself, and you cord a lawn to get rid of, and that's, you're making like holes in a lawn and taking out little plugs of soil. And that opens up the air into the soil. It helps to break down compaction from where people are taking shortcuts across your lawn and you're running back and forth with the lawn equipment. So it helps to loosen up the soil, which is good. It gets air down into the roots. It's good for the worms. And then we also want to think about that our lawns really grew a lot this year. I mean, we were cutting, we never had a burnout this year, but there was so much rain, the lawn grew the entire summer. So it was almost like August was the same as May. We were cutting the lawn like every 4 or 5 days. So think about this, though. It's grown so much. What has happened to your soil? It's exhausted. It's used up a lot of its nutrition, you know, growing these plants. And the water and the rain has washed some of the minerals further down into the soil. So we need to get things back into the top area, into where the root zone is, and reestablish and reinvigorate our lawns.
So, again, listening to what you just said, the lawn right now is probably stressed and needs balance. And by putting a Wow Supreme down, it's going to get balance.
Correct. And then liming, that would be one of the last things we do in the fall, you know, when we're done with our last cut and everything's down, then you can get your granulated lime or some type of whatever lime product or liquid, whatever you choose to use, and get the pH balanced out. So it'll have all winter long, the lime will have its chance to do its thing with the snow and work its way into the garden and into the lawn as well. So it's important that we do all that. And then you want to make sure you get the leaves up, like later in the year as when the leaves stop falling. You don't want those leaves to stay compacted on the lawn because, again, it's going to break down the soils and the grass is going to get all maybe disease, or you're going to get winter mold in there. So you want to make sure you get all these leaves up like at the end of the season so that your lawn is breathing and healthy throughout the winter and then ready for the spring.
Now, I started this show by asking you a question. So are you really tired of gardening?
I'm never tired of gardening. I says it's just so great to be out into the nature there and dealing with everything and observing the different seasons and the different birds and butterflies that are all going through. In fact, I think we're going to have a very late winter this year. I think it's because the hummingbirds and the monarchs are still here. They don't seem to want to leave, so maybe they know something we don't know.
So, Inspector Dave, it is a perfect fall day outside, so I want to do two things. First one is to thank you for expanding us with your knowledge to us, so we learn all the time. So I want to thank you for coming in the studio today.
Okay, thanks for having me. I hope everybody has a really great fall time and get out and enjoy the leaves and the fresh air and the crispness of everything.
And now we can head out of the studio and into the outdoors. Until next time, enjoy life's adventure. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.